Here this day. I welcome all those joining on the live stream and glad you could join us this day. And again, happy Father's Day. You know, it's a pleasure to be up here with my brother Mark, and I know his desire is to bring us that word, to bring us the word of God that he has placed on his heart that'll make us better people, that'll make us better with that desire to serve our God and to do those things that are pleasing unto him and that we might follow his commandments. And I ask that you might give Brother Mark a smile, say a prayer in your heart for the things he says, and then also that God can touch us with those words. And it's a pleasure to introduce Elder Mark Hill.
Thank you, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy Father's Day. Let out that sigh so I can get those tensions out, actually. I'm pleased and excited to kind of be up here this morning for some reason. Because it's Father's Day, I suppose, you know. I can't say that I was the best father. I wasn't the worst father, but I was the best father my children have. And as I told the one that made me a father this morning, sorry you didn't get a choice in the matter, but you're stuck with me. She appreciated it. She appreciated it. But I have to admit to you that I'm a girl dad. I have two daughters. I have no sons. I grew up with two brothers. I had not a concept about women, I mean about girls. I'm here to women also. But yeah, so my wonderful wife had to teach me about raising girls. And it is a little bit different, and men are different than women about the way they teach. And before I get lost in my thoughts and stuff, is one of the greatest things I think a father can do is to lead their children to Jesus Christ. And that's what my gist of my sermon hopefully is. I hope it's a fun sermon. I hope it's not a heavy sermon where you're weighed down with it because it's Father's Day. You know, we're going to burn burgers and burst hot dogs on the grill later, you know. Unless you're one of those that can afford the bone-in ribeye. I'm not. No. But anyway, fathers are just different. You know, they teach different, but we need them both. Mothers are more of a loving, caring type, and not fathers aren't, but they'll make you tough, too, because we need a little bit of toughness to make it in this world. You know, I can remember when I was a little kid, you know, I skinned my knee. It wasn't that bad. It was bleeding. But oh boy, did I play it up for my mom because she would cuddle me and clean it and put, at that time it was methylate, which that burnt. So it's like, blow on it. So mom would blow on it and stuff, you know, and cuddle you and make you feel good. Dad would walk by and he'd look at it and say, I don't see any bones. You'll be all right. Get up and walk it off. That's the way I was brought up. But he was a loving dad, and a statistic that I ran across years ago that just popped into my head, so I know I'm not going to have it exactly right, so don't quote me on it. But when fathers don't go to church with their families, the statistic is about 25% of their children continue to go to church. This is astounding. When a father goes to church with his family and kids, it jumps up to like 75%. So fathers, you are important on what you do. Maybe just the example that you set by being there. Like I said, those numbers aren't exactly right. But since it popped into my head, I don't have time to look it up. But that was close enough. I mean, when I saw that statistic, it was astounding, you know. And since the one that made me a father is not here, I'm going to pick on her just a little bit. Kind of a funny story, but it's also a little bit of the ways that fathers teach that are a little bit different than mothers. When my oldest, I'm not going to use her name, you all know who she is, but I don't know, but anyway. When she was little, it's wintertime. I mean, we're talking snow on the ground, below zero temperatures. I mean, we're talking wind blowing cold out. She's running around the house in her swimsuit. She decides she wants to go outside. And mom's trying to explain to her why she can't go out, that it's cold and everything else. And, you know, she's standing there and it's not hitting her. She's just not comprehending. I don't know if she didn't know what cold was at the time or what. But anyway, so I'm listening to this. So I walk in there and I say, well, what's the problem? And Lana tells me, and I say, you want to go outside in your swimsuit? Yeah. I said, it's cold out. Okay. I said, you still want to go out? Yeah. What's Dad do? Opens the door and lets her out, and then shuts the door behind her. So I watch her for a little bit. She starts doing this and comes back and looks at me at the door, and I let her in, and then I say, now that's why you can't go out in your swimsuit when it's cold. We lead by example. Hopefully I didn't run my kids too much by leading by example. But anyway, it's just, fathers are just different than mothers, but children need both. They really do. I did a little bit of looking up about Father's Day, and even though they had some celebrations for individual fathers before this one time period, what I found was in the Encyclopedia Britannica, no, I don't have them in my house, it's online. Father's Day, a holiday in honor of fathers that is celebrated in many countries around the world. It originated in the United States, and it's credited for the holiday is generally given to a Sonora Smart Dodd. And if I remember right, she might have been in the legislature in Washington State, I think I read. Anyway. Just so you know kind of who she might be. Dodd's father, a Civil War veteran, raised her and her five siblings after their mother died in childbirth. So he was a girl dad without a wife. Now that's not going to be easy. The first Father's Day was held on June 19th, 1910, the month of the birthday of Dodd's father. It became a U.S. national holiday in 1972 when President Richard Nixon signed legislation designating the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. Today, it's been designated that we honor fathers. When you went to the hospital to have your firstborn, to make you a father, when you got ready to leave, you had all this stuff you had to carry out to the car and everything. And I looked through all that and trying to find my father's guide. Because it was my first child. I had not a concept of what a father's supposed to do. So I'm not doing this, but in my head I am. I'm looking through, you know, where's my father's guide? Do you guys have a father's guide? I do, thank you. I do too. I was probably 30 years old or 31 when I found my father's guide. And it's in there, fathers. It's a guide on how to lead your life, how to guide your family, how to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's in there. This is your father's guide. So if you don't have one, get one. If you really can't get one, come see me and I will get you one. So it's a father's guide. Sorry, my notes are really crammed in here, so I need something to help me out. You know, as a father, you're going to also face Goliaths in your life. Those big tasks that you look at and you say, how am I going to defeat this? What am I going to do with this problem? I'm talking about big problems that come at you as being a father. If you don't have a source to go to, Jesus Christ, to go to God, get down on your knees and pray and ask for guidance as a father, you're going to fail. I tried it. It don't work. Because like I said, I was in my 30s and I had my children in our 20s. So they got a while of a dad that wasn't coming to church, a dad that didn't particularly follow the scriptures. And they ended up turning out pretty much all right. No, they did. I have, now that the years have gone by and things have settled from raising and all the wildness that some of them had, the dust is finally starting to settle a little bit. So yeah, but they know, and one thing that you have to remember, you can raise your kids the best way you can. You can raise them according to the scriptures, but I found out early in raising my children that there's one thing you can't do, and you can't take away their free will agency. You just can't do it. I was on my knees in my closet, which sometimes is either the garage or my bedroom, praying about my children, and things weren't going the way that I wanted them to go as far as guiding my children towards Jesus Christ. And so I just poured out my soul there, and I was, this is going to sound bad, but I was kind of upset with the Lord because I'd been praying about stuff. And I wasn't seeing any fruitation of it and stuff. So when I did that, that quiet, still, small voice just said, I can't take away their free will agency. So, even though you can teach them the best things in the world, they still have to accept it and hang on to it, you know, but continue to pray for them. That's probably one of the strongest things I could probably say as being a father, is live your life on your knees, because you will get guidance and direction on what to do. Man, that looks good. Prayer is a mighty thing. It can change hearts. It can change actions. And the Lord does things in His infinite wisdom on helping you out. Or maybe you're helping the Lord out. Yeah. But man, sometimes these Goliaths, it does. It weighs on you. I mean, I think my shoulders are rounded because of some of the weights I've felt. But what I have found out, and it's been a testimony in my life, is that if you hit your knees and you pray in faith believing and actually pour out your heart to the Lord about your children, they are His, and He will help you and He will guide them. And we're going to have a baptism this afternoon. And what a great thing to be on a Father's Day when you have helped guide your child to Jesus Christ in baptism. Okay. Alma 16, verse 219, Book of Mormon, page 429. If you go by page numbers, if not, Alma 16, 219. 429. Alma 16, 219 says, yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when you're in your fields. Yea, over all your flocks, cry unto Him in your houses. Yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of the enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, which is the enemy of all righteousness. Cry unto Him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. Those that are around you the most, family. It says to pray continually, especially morning, midday, and evening, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or whenever. But it's continual prayer about your children, pouring out your soul, because our children are our legacy, also the church. And I love to see him sitting here. I love to see him sitting up front. I understand if you got little ones, lots of times you sit in the back because it's easier to get in and out and to do those things. But they're still hearing me. They're still soaking it in. Little kids are like sponges. You know, it doesn't have to be the things that you say to them that they just soak up. They watch everything you do. So fathers, be decent fathers. Be good fathers. Be careful what you introduce your children to. Because like I said, I'm going to reiterate it probably, I don't know how many more times. Pray for your children. Mosiah 11, 159, Book of Mormon, 286, page 286. Mosiah 11, 159. Now the sons of Mosiah were numbered among the unbelievers, and also one of the sons of Alma was numbered among them, he being called Alma, after his father. Nevertheless, he became a very wicked and adulterous man. Now I know Alma taught his children in the ways of the Lord, but Alma and the sons of Mosiah decided they wanted to go about trying to destroy the church. And he was a man of many words and did speak much flattery to the people. Therefore, he led many of the people to do after the manner of his iniquities. And he became a great hindrance to the prosperity of the church of God, stealing away the hearts of the people, causing much dissension among the people, giving a chance for the enemy of God to exercise his power over them. And now it came to pass that while he was going about to destroy the church, for he did go about secretly with the sons of Mosiah, seeking to destroy the church and to lead astray the people of the Lord, contrary to the commandments of God, or even the king. And as I said unto you, as they were going about rebelling against God, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them and descended as it were in a cloud. And he spake as it were with a voice of thunder, which caused the earth to shake upon which they stood. And so great was their astonishment that they fell to the earth and understood not the words which he spake unto them. Nevertheless, he cried again, saying, Alma, arise and stand forth. For why persecutest thou the church of God? For the Lord hath said, this is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it is the transgressions of my people. And again the angel saith, behold, the Lord hath heard thy prayer, hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma is thy father. For he hath prayed with much faith concerning thee, and that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the faith. Therefore, for this purpose have I come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of the servants might be answered according to their faith. A father that prayed for his son and turned his heart, and Alma became a great minister for Jesus Christ. But he wasn't doing that to begin with. But it was because of the prayers of his father and the prayers of the people that changed his heart. It also didn't matter that an angel appeared to him. It probably scared him to death. It had scared me to death. But he had a choice to make. But he made the choice to follow after Jesus Christ. He made a choice to believe the things that his father had taught him. Third Nephi 8, verse 50, page 3 Nephi chapter 8, start at verse 50. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude, excuse me, and saith unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right believing that ye will receive, behold, it will be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Do you pray that your wives and your children may be blessed? I try to remember that in my morning prayer when I'm eating breakfast. I try to remember to ask that the Lord would bless my wife and my children and what they do that day, that he would watch over and protect them, and that he would guide and direct their paths. That is my prayer, and there's very few days I miss it. I made a decision years ago that it doesn't matter where I'm at or who's around me, I'm going to pray for my food, or if I feel like praying, I'm going to pray. That's just the way it is. If people don't like it, that's their problem, I suppose. Excuse me. I'm starting to wander. I don't want to do that. So pray for your wives. Pray for your children. You know, Proverbs 22:6. I'm not going to pull it up because I'm just going to quote it. Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Teach him about Jesus Christ. Bring him to Sunday school. Bring him to church. You know, give him that opportunity to know what Christianity is, to know who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Son of God, and to know that he will guide and direct them in their paths in life. Yeah, it may not be easy, because he never promised us a rose garden, which is a cliche, but that's okay. He never did. He never said that life was going to be super easy, but he'll guide you through it. You know, I'm hoping that as a father, that the scars that I put on my children aren't lasting scars. Don't know what they might be, but I'm sure they're probably there. I'm just going to tell you, there were times I know I had too heavy of a hand in my discipline. Not that I beat my kids or spanked them, but the way I talk to them about what they might have done wrong, instead of trying to explain to them and lift them up, I very well may have crushed them a little bit. I feel bad. But I can't change that. Hopefully I've fixed it. Hopefully when I started coming to church that it made a difference, and I'm hoping that that difference heals any hurts that I might have done. I know they love me. And I love them. But when you have your children believing in Jesus Christ, man, that's better than any gift you can get given. You know, I was in sports. I did a lot of sports. Some of them I weren't too good at. One of them I was really good at, and I really enjoyed it. I've got trophies. I've got ribbons. I've got plaques. You want to know what? They don't really mean nothing to me now. But what means something is I've got my children that believe in Jesus Christ. That's a legacy that I love. You know, yeah, I've still got all those things. I took them out and looked at them a while back. Probably need to put them back away in the closet where they belong. They're a life that was passed to me. And I don't get me wrong, I enjoy reminiscing about those times. But all that stuff, honestly, how many of you out there have your trophies and your ribbons and, you know, from academics or whatever? When you get older, they're nice to have, but do they mean anything to you? Not really. Not when it comes to the important stuff, like raising your children to believe in Jesus Christ. If you haven't figured out, that's my topic today. Is raise them, teach them, train them up. Messiah 2, verse 25, page 221. Isaiah 2:25. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Financial support, you know. You children out there, do you know how much your dad makes? I didn't know how much my father made. Did it matter? No. It didn't matter how much he made. Because he loved us. And when I was a kid, that's all that mattered was, is I had a safe place, was home, where I was loved and I was cared for and I was nurtured. You will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you'll teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Have you guys ever fought with each other? Okay, so did my daughters. I fought with my brothers, not a whole lot because I was the youngest and I was 4 years behind, so I was little, and so there wasn't a whole lot of tussling going on until I started getting bigger and bulked up. And that's when they quit picking on me. But it says here that as parents, we're not supposed to let that keep going on. We're supposed to use those as teaching experiences. I love that. Not really, because when I say, well, this is a teaching experience, it's like, oh boy. But that's what they are. Those mistakes that your children make, the mistakes that we make also, they're learning experiences. They're learning experiences. Because if you do have your father's manual, you have to know how to use it. And that takes a little bit of time and a little bit of study and maybe talking with some people that have more experience in life than maybe yourself. I've learned a lot of things being a father, a lot of good things about myself, a lot of bad things about myself that I have to, but that's good because I recognize they've been shown to me and I decided that, yeah, that needs changed. So I can become a better father for my children and my grandchildren. And when I see my grandchildren coming to Jesus Christ, man, that's joy. Is it not, Darren? Sorry, I just saw the look on your face and it's like, that is joy. When you can see your kids, especially your grandchildren, coming to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. All right, this is kind of the meat of my sermon, maybe. All right. I'm going to go about it this way. I've looked up some words in the Strong's, so I understood what the scriptures were telling me, but I think we need to also, if we don't understand it, take note of this. Wrath. It's Strong's, and it's number 3949, and I tried saying it over and over again, and I gave up on what the Greek word was. And it says, to anchor alongside. In rage, anger, wrath. Nurture. Strong's 3809. Nurture, tutorage. Education or training, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction. That's nurture. In that context that it comes in Ephesians 6:4. And nurture is only found one time in the Bible. I thought that, now there's other variations of it, but the word nurture, unless I messed up, I'm pretty sure it's only found once. But to nurture, tutorage, that's, you know what tutorage is? It's teaching somebody along. So nurturing is teaching them. Nurturing your children is teaching them. Admonition, Strong's 35:59, calling attention to mild rebuke or warning. Admonition, mild rebuke or warning. Sometimes my rebukes weren't so mild. And then I don't know if it was a teaching experience or if it was just more I was upset, probably. Book of Mormon, Enos 1, page 194. I like Enos. Enos was a hunter, so am I. Kind of taking a practice that Enos did. When you're sitting out in the woods and there's nothing to do and it's boring and you're about to fall asleep and fall out of your stand, start praying. Because I thought one day, I said, no, I got to have something to keep me awake. I'm falling asleep. Then it hit me. Well, Enos prayed for his brethren. Hey. So I pray a lot in a deer stand. Anyway, Enos, verse 1 and 2. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man. I hope my kids can say that about me. I hope they can say, my dad was a just dad. I hope. For he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. What a legacy to have one of your sons say that. That he was brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The disciplinary correction, the education, and the tutorage, and the calling attention to it, and the mild rebukes and the warnings of what you're doing wrong to guide and direct you. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I love verse 2. And blessed be the name of my God for it. Man, I'm so glad that 30 some odd years ago, that the Lord touched my heart. Because I think it changed the dynamics of my whole family. And if it hadn't, I don't know the path that they would be on today. So, blessed be the name of my God for it. Ephesians 6. Well, I was going to start in Ephesians 5, but I think I'll cut it down. I was going to read in Ephesians 5 of family dynamics, but I'm going to read one verse in Ephesians 5, verse 25, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a dynamic that your children need to see their father do. They need to see their father love their wives. They need to see their fathers give of themselves for their wives and for the family. They need to see that because that's how they learn. That's how they learn those things, is through watching. They soak it in, whether you know it or not. They also see the arguments that you have. So be careful. But when children can see the love that their parents have one for another, I don't know as I can think of the words to describe what happens. And I don't know if children know it or not, but something happens when they know that their parents are committed to each other and that they're committed to raising their children in a godly manner. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'll just stop there. No. If your parents are good parents, obey your parents. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that promise is that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so today we honor fathers. I hope I'm worthy of that honor. I feel good about being a father. Like I've said, we make mistakes. Don't show of hands because I already know the answer. How many fathers have made mistakes with their children? Yeah, we have. We do it. It's just the way life is. Hopefully we don't mess our children up too bad because they have parents. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't get them enraged and I'm talking wrath, I think of anger. That's the only way I know how to explain it. You know, don't get them that way because they don't learn. They don't listen to you. When you get angry, you shut your brain off, basically. You might as well not argue anymore. You're not in control of yourself. Them getting upset with you is different than wrath. I know that my children were probably mispleased with something that I wouldn't let them do, you know, or maybe some of the rules I've had in my household when they were growing up. I had this rule, nothing good happens after midnight. You're home by midnight. And if you're not going to be home by midnight, or if you want to stay out later, that was my rule, later than midnight when you were mature enough to handle being out till midnight, you know, it's on a maturity level. I hate to put an age group to it because some 20-year-olds aren't as mature as some 15-year-olds. And this rule was, is if you wanted to stay out past midnight, you call home when you first find out, not 5 minutes to midnight, because I grew up and did stuff. And when you call right at midnight, that tells me that there's something happening that you don't want us to know about, and no, you need to come home. They obeyed that rule real well because I made a point of being on the couch when they walked through the front door. I may be asleep, but I'm there, and I'm the first thing they're going to see when they come in that door. So it's like, you're not sneaking in my house. I didn't grease my front door hinges because my bedroom's close enough that when that squeaks, I know the door's coming open. Lana asked me one time, you gonna oil that? And I said, nope, that's my alarm. Not that they would have snuck out. I would have never done anything like that. Provoke not your children to wrath. Like I said, that's not just getting them upset with you. That's getting them to that wrath, that enraging wrath. Don't do that. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The nurture and admonition of the Lord, that education times when they mess up. This is an educational experience. It's a time to learn. I don't feel like learning then, but it is. It's a time to learn. It's a time to learn from both. So, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The instruction and the disciplinary correction to guide and direct them towards the Lord, to guide and direct them towards Jesus Christ. Those those admonitions, the calling of the attention to, and those mild rebukes or warnings, because you know that if they're on this certain path, where it's going to lead in life, and it might not be good. So we need to call attention to it. Mild rebukes and warnings. If you stay on this path, if you stay in the lifestyle you're in, this is where it's going to lead. You know, they need to be warned about those things. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to close with a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. I love Helen Steiner Rice. I've got this many books of her poems. I don't know how many it is, but that's the volume in the bookcase it takes up on the Helen Steiner Rice poetry books I have. I love Helen Steiner Rice. I like poetry a lot. I don't think it takes away from my manliness. Maybe it adds to it. But I do, and I love the way she writes. And where did I put it? There it is. Helen Steiner Rice. And I'm not one that always brings out poetry and stuff, but I thought today I'm going to read me a Helen Steiner Rice poem. And it says, "Fathers are wonderful. Fathers are wonderful people, too little understood, and we do not sing their praises as often as we should. For somehow, father seems to be the man who pays the bills, while mother binds up little hurts and nurses all our ills. And fathers struggle daily to live up to his image as protector and provider and hero of the scrimmage. And perhaps that is the reason we sometimes get the notion that fathers are not subject to the things we call emotion. But if you look inside dad's heart, where no one else can see, you'll find he's sentimental and as soft as he can be. And he's so busy every day in the grueling race of life, he leaves the sentimental stuff to his partner and his wife. But fathers are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolades of praise. For the only reason dad aspires to fortune and success is to make his family proud of him and bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he's a guardian and a guide, someone we can count on to be always on our side. Thank you. And God bless each and every one."
Okay, thank you, Brother Mark, for that message. You know, a message was for fathers, but also for mothers, for aunts, uncles, friends. You know, how important it is that we're that example of God's goodness, that we're that example in the things that we do. And so thank you for that message today. Okay, a few things. Right after this service,